It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Mayor Bill Peduto and others are praising a deal between Dollar Bank and a group of regional foundations that puts the August Wilson Center for African American Culture back under community control. The foundations originally had a deal in place to buy the building for $8.49 million, but it was scuttled when one of the creditors of the center objected to the deal. Then earlier this week, after the bank bought the building at a sheriff's sale, they completed the sale to the foundations. So with that out of the way, what does the future hold for the August Wilson Center? I'm joined now in Studio A by Pittsburgh Post-Gazette columnist Tony Norman. Tony, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good to be here, Paul. Good to see you.
There has been a lot of drama, hasn't there?
Drama is what the August Wilson Center is all about, Paul. After all, it is named after a dramatist. So interesting how that happens. Yes, it's like the Pearls of Pauline every single week with the August Wilson Center. But as you just reported there, the last hurdle has been jumped. I was looking for the right verb there. And so I think that now we can begin to look toward the future of the August Wilson Center. And I think it's going to be a good one.
And if you can just maybe sum up for people that have been trying to figure out what exactly happened this week, because we were told there was a deal in place, but there wasn't. There was a thing with a creditor, and it sort of put everything on hold for a while.
Right. A Bethel Park security company wanted some liens against the August Wilson Center, and the foundations said that they would not buy the center if it was not clear and free of liens and past judgments and so forth. And so it went to sheriff's sale, where Dollar Bank, as you know, picked it up for a whopping $1,900 and sold it back to the foundations. So now the creditor who sued, that is the Bethel Park Security Company, they're now completely out of the picture because, you know, they did not settle when they had an opportunity. And so now the August Wilson Center is free and clear and sold to the foundations. It is difficult to figure out, but it was like a Jedi move on the part of Dollar Bank and the foundations, who are probably obviously working together at this point.
So now, how do the folks in charge of the August Wilson Center, the foundations, how do they right the ship?
Well, it's going to be up to the foundations and a community corporation that is appointed by the foundation to put together community, a black-owned the August Wilson Center will be, quote, black-owned. That is, it will be owned and operated by a group that is put together by the foundations. And there will also be a group that will be doing the day-to-day management of the August Wilson Center. It does all sound very confusing, but I think that the management will be competent for once.
What will it take to make the center self-sustaining?
That's the $100 million question. It will become self-sustaining if the folks who will be running the August Wilson Center actually have a vision of where to go with programming. Programming will be the key. Programming and goodwill from the community, and having 100% buy-in by Pittsburgh's black community. It has to become a place of ownership, that the community has to feel a sense of ownership. Otherwise, it will just become a white elephant, no pun intended.
Well, why didn't the black community in Pittsburgh feel ownership before, if that, in fact, was something that was lacking?
Because it was never asked, and programming was never geared towards a broad base of people in the community. If you recall, the programming was actually quite skimpy. And so people, how do you feel invested in something that is not you're not invited to the party? And so I think things will be different now, because they have to be. They have to be. Too many people are looking at this. This will be under a microscope. There will be no room for messing up with this. And so I think that there will be a very evangelical effort made to make every community feel invested in this, especially the Black community.
Going forward, the August Wilson Center is going to have programming that appeals to all races. What about that?
I think that's correct. I don't think that let's say an exhibit that focuses on, let's say, the Black experience is by necessity exclusionary. But I think that that person's point was probably that maybe going forward there should be exhibits or performances that are geared explicitly towards other communities. And I think there's room for that. I think a more creative way to go forward would probably be to think in terms of, you know, what is Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh has been the cauldron of jazz in the 20th century. It has been a place where great jazz artists have come forth. And I think maybe having some sort of jazz history museum, because you could just fill it with Pittsburghers, literally people who have made an impact on the history of jazz. Same thing with pop music. You think about all the Pittsburgh firsts that involved African Americans. You could fill that museum just by looking at the past. But I think more important, we have to think in terms of the future. And I think there's a lot of really interesting young artists coming out of Pittsburgh these days who are leaving town to find their fortunes. And I think that the August Wilson Center can be an incubator for young talent of all colors, but especially African Americans. I think young African American artists have to feel that they have a place to exhibit, to showcase, and to show their wares. And I think that's an element that's been missing from the August Wilson Center in the past. There is no sense of dynamic, future-oriented artwork being done there. It's always in terms of, we're always thinking in terms of the past. But August Wilson was a dynamic, modernist, culturally savvy, aware person who looked towards all sorts of traditions to express himself. And I think we have to reclaim that tradition. And that tradition is African American, but it's also part of his German background. It's also part of his European, you know, Euro-Afro background. And I think we have to embrace all of that as well.
And wasn't he the product of, at least at the time and in the specific area of the Hill District where he grew up, a young man or someone who was exposed as a young man to a very – to a lot of multicultural influences just within his neighborhood?
Absolutely. You had Arabs, you had Syrians, you had Jews, you had Italians, you had every single thing. You know, that may not be reflected in terms of the characters in the play, but it is reflected in the language, the modernist language. I mean, he was a man of gumbo. He was a man of different insights and experiences that he just brought all together. And I think that that's where the August Wilson Center has to be a shining light in this community. It really does have to show that it's all right to be eclectic and that it's all right to be modernist. At the same time, I think the August Wilson Center should be aware of the fact that a lot of African Americans are more comfortable with Black arts, with plays that are maybe even a little didactic. And I think the August Wilson Center has to appeal to those folks too. You know, bring in the Tyler Perry plays, but also bring in the August Wilson plays. Bring in all the modernists. Bring in modernist art. Bring in Jean-Michel Basquiat paintings. But also, you know, bring in the Martin Luther King Day, you know, I Have a Dream, you know, portraits that are, may even be kind of schlocky. You know, bring in different aspects of the community's expression so that everyone feels a sense of ownership and excitement. And there should never be a day in which the lights are off at the August Wilson Center. It should be from the time, you know, from the morning when people are commuting into work downtown, they should be able to see lights in the lobby. Till late at night, there should be lights in the lobby. We should know that there is a community that is invested in what happens there. And that's not what we have now. We have a mausoleum, and it has to be an active, everyday, 24/7 presence to distinguish it from all the other museums. You think about the Andy Warhol Museum. You were around when that opened, or probably visited. Remember all the naysayers. They said, why are you erecting a museum on behalf of a guy who hated Pittsburgh? You know what? It is unthinkable that anyone who is somewhat hip or savvy or whatever would come to Pittsburgh without visiting the Andy Warhol Museum. That place is always packed, is always well lit. It's always hopping and jumping. And that's what the August Wilson Center can be. It can be even more so because I think it's more centrally located. And I think that it will have more community buy-in even than the Andy Warhol.
Does the August Wilson Center need to have more of or need to be more August Wilson centric? The Warhol Museum, I mean, there are a lot of things that go in and out of there, there's not a lot of space in that building that doesn't remind you of Andy Warhol and his work. Is there enough of that leads you back to the man that the building is named after, August Wilson?
You know, if there's not an actual play happening, then it should be a table reading or maybe someone conducting a class on monologues on August Wilson or someone delivering a paper or something, some reminder. But I think that August Wilson is a convenient symbol of black modernism in the 20th and 21st century. And I think you can have other things too. I think if you had a Basquiat exhibit or if you had any number of – I mean, it's out to infinity. I think that would fairly represent the August Wilson Center too. I don't think that we have to fetishize them the same way that Warhol is fetishized by the museum named after him. But I think there's room for that. There's room to be really creative and expansive here. That's the bottom line.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're visiting with Pittsburgh Post-Gazette columnist Tony Norman, talking about the events of this week that led to the August Wilson Center finally being brought back under community control, put into the hands of regional foundations. A deal is in place, and so now we're looking at what happens going forward. Tony, you've had a lot of suggestions in your column, and certainly so far in the course of this conversation. One of the things that you brought up in a recent column of yours was the idea of appointing a public relations czar. Now that we've identified some programming ideas, how do you market this stuff? How do you get the people in Pittsburgh, which is not a huge city,
right,
but one that has a lot of entertainment options, mm-hmm. How do you get people to – how do you make the August Wilson Center a destination at the fringes of the cultural district?
Right. Yes. How do you do that? You know, I would say
tough question.
I have to be really honest here. I think that this is going to be the key hire for the August Wilson Center, the person who understands PR, the person who understands how to get the word out about everything. And that person has to be relentless. But I think something unprecedented also has to happen. There has to be marketing to the African-American community of Pittsburgh. I've never seen that. I think that those are the folks that have to be seduced first. Those are the folks who have to be brought in. And I think the way you do that is that you go to churches. You go to community forums. You go to the corners. You go wherever you have to go. You have to be aggressive and you have to be creative. And I think getting people to come downtown to see this place that has undergone so much drama to be saved, I think once they see the place and once they understand what's going on there, there will be buy-in and people will buy tickets. But it has to be accessible. It has to be friendly. It can't be a cold museum. And so the PR person has to understand how to make the August Wilson Center appealing, no matter what the program is or the show or the exhibit, and go out and sell it. And sell it like you're selling bootleg records out of the back of the car or bootleg DVDs. You have to sell it. And so that's, you know, I wish I could be more specific. But it depends on what's going to be happening. And I think that's going to be the key person who's in charge of, as it were, propaganda for the August Wilson Center.
Well, one of the things that you brought up was that you just need somebody that's going to return phone calls.
Yes, I think that's a that's a more straightforward way of putting everything I just said. I never really felt that I could get to the person who could tell me what was happening at the August Wilson Center in the past. Never. And I'm sure it's no fault of the, on their part. Or maybe it is. I don't know. But, you know, I could never get a call back. And that was always a constant frustration. And so I never knew what was happening. There was no unified map of the events at the August Wilson Center. I could not go online and see everything that was happening. You could see little bits and pieces, but not what I wanted that necessitated a call in the first place. So that's going to be a key hire right there. But also the visionary, the person who is going to be in charge of programming, you know, he or she is going to be worth their weight in gold, but they're certainly not going to be paid in gold. They're not going to be paid very well at all, probably, initially. But it has to be someone of vision and substance.
And as far as the finances became a real challenge for that place, and now in its reincarnation, and it really does feel like it's risen from the ashes, doesn't it?
It has. I mean, this new iteration has got to work, and I believe that it will.
So how about fundraising? How about the whole issues of money, which, if you're a 501c3, if you're a nonprofit, that's a big issue, a big challenge.
Sure, sure. And you can't be shy about asking for money. There are going to be a lot of people who say, not another dime of taxpayer money. Well, let's be real. There will be taxpayer money going into this for a long, long time. But I don't think that taxpayers should be stuck with the lion's share of this. And this is something where I think that ticket sales and just appealing to the communities, to the African-American community, but to all of Pittsburgh to understand that they have a buy-in. They have a stake in this. And I think that this will be as – I think it will be as what's the word I'm looking for? I think that Pittsburgh's August Wilson Center will support itself as well as the symphonies, as well as any of these other institutions, great institutions. There will be a certain amount of public dollars going into it, but there will also be obvious public support, and that's what we have to think about.
You seem to indicate in one of your recent columns that there were those who did not want to see the August Wilson Center succeed. What makes you say that?
Just look at the comments under every article about the August Wilson Center. Just look at the conversations on talk radio. There is a certain amount.
Other than this one.
Right. There's a certain amount of resentment of this institution just by virtue of the fact that it seems exclusionary that, working class white folks are somehow shut out of it. I mean, that seems to be the sentiment that comes through. Or it's a tax boondoggle. There's a lot of resistance to it. And let's face it, there's a certain amount of racism and racial anxiety in Pittsburgh that is unavoidable, especially when it comes to a big institution like this that has such a public failure. So there's going to be a lot of resistance based on that, maybe even unconscious, a lot of it conscience, believe me. Let me tell you the email that I get about this from people who are out and out bigots. It's really disheartening, but they will not win the day. I think that the August Wilson Center has been righted, and now all we have to do is all do our part and our share to keep this institution alive and viable.
So in our last minute or so here, what's the ultimate takeaway? It sounds like you're cautiously optimistic.
I'm cautiously optimistic. Actually, I will go further and say that I'm more than cautiously optimistic. I am optimistic because the only way you can mess this up is to have people on the board of directors or a new director who doesn't know what he or she is doing. And I don't think that the foundations are going to tolerate that for a second.
Pittsburgh Post-Gazette columnist Tony Norman on the future of the August Wilson Center for African American Culture. The purchase of the center by local foundations became official this week. Tony Norman, as always, thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting me, Paul.
Coming up, we'll learn about a recent diabetes research breakthrough and preview Expo 2014 in Pittsburgh. And later in the program, it's another British invasion courtesy of two reporters from the BBC. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.